Who would like to extend a Christian greeting to each one that is here? It's good to see you all here. May grace, God's grace and peace be here, be multiplied unto you. Been encouraged already this morning as we, the devotional on hope, expectation, something that we expect. And I appreciated the thought of trust, that trust comes in when we have hope that we can trust we have hope in God, we can trust in Him. The title that I have in the pulpit exchange message here is Be Steadfast, Unmovable. And I thought that that devotional goes well with that as we think of trust. If we have our trust in something, it helps us to be, or if we put our trust in something that's unmovable, it gives us a hope to live for. Also, the Sunday school lesson, enjoyed that as well. The thoughts that came out and the encouragement to be faithful and joyful even in the midst of suffering. The verse that goes with be steadfast, unmovable is in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. I'm going to read that. You don't need to turn to that. I'll be looking at some other scriptures later on. It says, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Focus we have this morning is to be steadfast and unmovable. Steadfast is something that's firmly fixed, something that's not subject to change. Don't we feel a whole lot more secure if we're somewhere where we know that things aren't moving and changing? I don't know how many of you have been at a place when there was an earthquake. When we were in Belize, there was just a light earthquake there one time, nothing much, not enough to really get me to the place where I had fear that things are going to fall apart or so. But just to think of that we have something that's steadfast and sure and unmovable. It brings a security there, something that's... And Paul here was addressing the church here. Some of them had fallen away from his original teaching, some of the church. They were drifting away. They were embracing heresy and introducing ideas that were contrary to the gospel. And in Paul's letters, in scripture here, there's different times he talks about false teachers, false doctrine, and to be steadfast, to be unmovable, to be grounded in the Word of God. And may that be something that we can look at this morning here. There's a story that is told of a ship. It's the great ship that was nicknamed Mighty Mo. And maybe some of you, maybe a lot of you have heard this story before already. It was an Iowa-based battleship. And this ship was one of those ships that was out, I think it was built in 1944. And it was a ship that when it went out on the sea, it was pretty much the captain, he thought he had control of the sea. He had some guns on there that could shoot 2,000-pound shells for 20 miles and pretty much hit it pinpoint on. And as he was out one night, it was dark in the night, there was a storm coming up, the waves were tossing to and fro, and this ship was going, and all of a sudden, through the darkness, he sees a light. And as this light kept getting closer and closer, and it was, well, when they saw it, they called the captain up and to see what was coming here, and the captain got up, and he was watching it for maybe about an hour, and heading straight for this ship. The Mighty Mo, which was the Missouri, it was it was the USS Missouri ship. And Anyway, the captain finally decided that he'll, with some wisdom, he thought maybe he better put a warning out. So he put a warning out to the approaching ship. Said, approaching ship, turn 15 degrees south. You are on a collision course with the Missouri, with the USS Missouri. And the call was answered with this message. USS Missouri, you are ordered to change course 15 degrees north. You are on a collision course. And this made the captain very angry. He just the idea that anyone would challenge him. So he sends a message back right away. He says, approaching vessel, this is the captain of the Navy vessel BB-11 USS Missouri. You are ordered to turn 15 degrees south and yield right away. And the answer came back, U.S. Navy vessel BB-11 U.S. Missouri, this is the seaman first class on duty at the Nova Scotia Lighthouse. You are ordered to turn 45 degrees north. And the captain of the battleship, with embarrassment, quickly changed his course, turned 45 degrees north to avoid grounding his ship upon the rocks. He was facing a lighthouse, and he thought it was another ship. And I wonder sometimes how often we chart our course and we say, this is the direction we're going, this is what we're going to do, and you make way for me. Looking at the lighthouse as God's word. Looking at God's word and saying, hey, you need to change course a little bit so I can continue on, not realizing the outcome of that all. Psalm 119, 89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And that gives us hope, that gives us trust, because it's something that's stable, something that's secure, the word of God. Psalm 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. As we think of light, if we're going down a path at night and there's light there, it gives us a security. It gives us stability of knowing where to place our feet and where to go because it's revealed to us. We need a point of reference to stay on course. And as I was thinking of that, and again, the point of reference is God's word. I think we need to use God's word to chart our course. And I had to think of back years ago, used to farm with brother-in-law, Omer Byler, and back in their field there was this little rock pile. And in the center of that rock pile, there was a post or a little plate. And I remember saying to Omer one time, I said, and I would chop his corn there, and this pile of rocks was there. And if we just get rid of that, we could farm straight through. But he said, there's a survey marker there. And it was, I think, the county's survey marker. It was something that was not to be moved. It was a point of reference, depends when, and sometimes they would come in and go off of that point to do surveying to get their bearings so that everything was accurate and right. And it was, I understand there's different places throughout that they have these points of reference that they can go off of so that they keep their accuracy. And that's what we need as God's children. We need that. Now, as I think of stability and being unmovable, I think of things that change. And I guess my question is, what do you think of as you think of things that have changed in the past? And some changes are okay if they're not against Scripture. There have been some changes in the past that, and I'm not saying with the church. I'm just saying things that have changed in society and so on, that brings a sense of insecurity if we base our trust in society. What are some of the things that you think of? I don't know if I want to open it up. I mean, I don't mind if somebody has some. I put a list of things down as I was just thinking of it. If somebody has something, what has changed that you, for good or bad? Or maybe things that aren't relevant even. I mean, to good or bad. And some of that I'll just start off with our life. Our life changes. Families change. You know, I grew up at home, and then soon I got married, and yeah, life brought changes, and we had children, and then they get married, and grandchildren, and those things are good, but it's changes. But how about some of the other changes that came along in your lifetime? I don't know.
Society has somewhat changed. That seems to be a lack of respect for the government, a lack of respect for liberties. In these last years, I've noticed that it seems people are not afraid to speak up and to really just bash the government. And I think that's probably the society in general is deteriorating in this one generation.
Lack of respect, yes. I even thought of, you know, some of that maybe even comes in our time, in the church, maybe sometimes, lack of respect for the elderly. You know, that change that is not a big deal really, maybe is even our countryside. Farms, you know, farming, dairy farms, that's kind of a thing that's of the past. How about the way that society, the transgender thing, they're not even sure, or they're trying to figure out when a baby is born, if it's a boy or a girl. I mean, some of those things are way off. I mean, the medical system, some of those things have changed drastically in the last years. And I believe that in a way it brings an instability if we need, you know, if we trust in those things. And I think it's important that we know that we go beyond those things, because there's some things that never change. And even as I said, think of the transgender thing. It says scripture says in the beginning God created male and female. That's how he created them. That's how they are. Technology is something that has changed over the years. And oftentimes when we think of technology, we think of evil. But really, the word technology means a practical application of knowledge in a particular area of engineering. So there's a lot of things that we appreciate in technology. And again, there can be some good and there can be bad in that. And there is. How about the doctrines of God's word, scripture that has been taught over the years and has been changed so that others can think that they can chart their course and reach the shore or the harbor where they're going without devastation? And I believe that is why it's so important that we have the word of God and look to the word of God for our direction. The doctrines that I would think of is salvation, the doctrine of salvation, marriage, and there's others we could talk about and look at. How about the appreciation and respect for the church? I believe that is another thing that is being lost. People think, and some of that has maybe even come due to this pandemic that we were in. People think that, well, we don't need church so much. We can just sit at home and listen in. And the appreciation for church, I think, is something that, and the respect for church has been lost. Let us not lose that. And I'm not saying that has been lost here, but I think it's, as we look at society and as we look at at churches that the course they're on, that it seems like these are some of the things that have that are changing. How about just community, working together? These are things that things that have changed and that we need to work with. So, being steadfast and unmovable, I believe, is to be spiritually grounded. Let's turn to, if you would, turn to Ephesians 4. And here it's speaking of the church. Ephesians 4, verse 11. The church, he gave, at the beginning here, Paul's speaking of how to conduct ourselves in the church with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. And we heard about that in our Sunday school lesson today, too, about being of one mind, of not necessarily that we have to completely think the same, but that we can be in unity, that we can work together. And how's it there? Finally, be one mind, having compassion one another, love as brethren, be pitiful, courteous. Yeah, having love for each other. And then here in verse 11, he gives the church different, those in the church, different gifts, different responsibilities. I'm going to read from 11 through 16 here. It says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And this is the point that the church, that we should appreciate the church for, and the work that the, or part of the church that it does for us. And as we have an appreciation and a respect for the church and for the different offices and gifts that people have in the church, it says in verse 14 that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Purpose for the church. The church, with its different members, helps create a perimeter for us that brings a stability to truth. And really, I believe a steadfast person knows what he believes and cannot be tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of doctrine. An unmovable person can even hear false teaching and still be steadfast. And there again, we have to be grounded in the Word of God. We have to have our focus, point of reference has to come from the Word of God for us to be grounded, so that we're not tossed to and fro, that when other things come along, that we can be steadfast, we can be true, we can be unmovable. 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 3. Here again, Paul's concern for the purity of the church. It says, for as much, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. He makes reference back to the Garden of Eden when, verse 2 there, he talks about the jealousy that he has over the church. Says, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But then he says, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preach us another Jesus, whom we have not preached? Or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been throughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? He goes on there how they supported Paul. And then as we look at verse 12 there, it says, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. And that cutting off occasion, that the occasion there is, it would, the Greek says that it's a starting point of opportunity. And that Paul is saying here that he wants to cut off that starting point of opportunity for those that would like to do that. It says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Again, you might get tired of hearing me say it, but it's so important. The Bible needs to be our reference point. The Bible needs to be the lighthouse. The Bible needs to be our focus in our journey of life. Don't go one degree off, because if you go one degree off, it's going to take you way off course, for sure, if you're a distance back. And you start off and you take one degree, you're going to miss the course, you're going to miss the place you want to go. Keep focused on God's word. Here Paul said that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent, he has a concern that those things don't look appealing to us or to the church here at Corinth. Maybe we wonder, how can we stay on course? One of the things that is important is study. Study the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15. I saw you had your offering for lamp and light. Do you get the lamplighter in your mailboxes here, the newsletter? You get that here? From Lamp and Light. You don't get their newsletter. Okay, they have a little newsletter they put out, and we get it in our mailboxes. And just last Sunday, I think, or the Sunday before, we got it. And in there, it had a, it was from Lamp and Light. Yeah, they had a quiz on the Bible. There's like about 20 questions. See if you could answer, had different questions and answer which book and which chapter it's found. And it was good to do that. And I think we need to be acquainted with the Word of God. We need to acquaint ourselves with the Scriptures. Daniel did that. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meats. And he knew what was right. He knew what was wrong. Here, as we look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Then it goes on and says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Let's not get carried up with just making these profane and vain babblings. And it says, their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrew the faith of some. Apparently here there were a few people that had the faith, but they erred. And it says they overthrew the faith of some. But verse 19, it says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." The foundation of God standeth sure. It's unmovable. It will not, it's steadfast. We as humans, we waver at times. We go back and forth. Maybe there's questions come up. Anyway, I do sometimes. I wonder. But it says here, the foundation of God standeth sure. It doesn't change. And that's why it is such a blessing that we can read the Word of God and understand it. To remain steadfast and unmovable, we have to know the Word of God. To accurately handle the Word of life, the Word of truth. Don't only read the Bible, but allow it to become a part of us. Its truth should penetrate our minds and hearts, that it shapes our thinking and our actions. You know, as we think of those that are in Haiti, those that are hostage there, held hostage, do you think that they said one time during this time that we just put too much time in reading the Word of God? I don't think they did. I think they were glad for everything that they knew from the Word of God. Everything that they had memorized. The songs they had in their hearts. What for songs are you listening to? What are you filling your mind with? What would happen if you would be locked up for 43 days with no Bible, no good CDs, no songbooks? What would you be thinking? Would you be thinking of the songs that you were listening to yesterday? Or what would you concentrate on? I think we do well to think about these things. We're living in a time when there are uncertain times and instability in our nation. And I think it's time for us to think about, for us to be steadfast and unmovable. We're going to need to begin today. Don't think we can be doing things however we want today. And when the time comes, when we come into a situation like these brothers and sisters are, that all of a sudden things will be okay. Yes, God can work, God can move, and God can forgive, and he does. I'm sure there was a lot of soul searching on their behalf, even on my behalf, in thinking of all these things. God allowed these things not just for them, but for us, maybe to prepare, so that we're steadfast and unmovable. Study. Become acquainted with the Word of God. What do you like to hear, to read? What do you meditate on? Luke 4. Here's where Jesus was tempted. And Satan, he likes to use Scripture, and he'll twist Scripture. Luke 4, verse 9. It says, "And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone." I mean, he was quoting some scripture here. But then Jesus said, "It is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Satan twists scripture to make it say something that it doesn't. If we have not been diligent in our study and meditation on truth, we are vulnerable to error. False religion. False religions can be persuasive when they quote Bible verses to support their error. But Jesus here, he could have yielded. And you know, we can too. We have a choice. The choice is ours. I'd like to turn to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. Again, with this being steadfast and unmovable, these verses just came out again and again. These verses of deception that are around. And we need to be on guard for this. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, it says, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting of Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you." And he talks again about some of the things that how they took care of him. But then in verse 10 it says, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat with their own hands. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." Again, just the encouragement to be steadfast and to beware of those that are out there trying to deceive, trying to bring in or walking disorderly and not after those things which have been taught. Acts 20 is a part here of Scripture that says that we need to be grounded on the whole counsel of God. Acts 20, verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God." And then it goes on and says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers." Again, we need to take the whole counsel of God. We can't just pick out some of the things that we want or say that I will follow this, but this one here, well, we can maybe deviate from that or go off course a few degrees off of that. We need to take the whole counsel of God. John 8 speaks of the truth. Maybe I won't even turn to that. It speaks of how the truth shall make you free. Christ, God is truth, says Christ is truth. Recently, I spoke with a young man who was struggling in his life, and he was struggling some with his music and just morally, some of the things. And he told me, he said when he realized that he was rebelling against the brotherhood agreements, and when he got to the end of himself and decided to submit, it brought victory and peace. I believe when there is one area in our life that we're struggling with in obeying God or obeying what God wants us to do, when we start struggling in that area, it's like opening up more for the devil to come in and to bring more things in and to tempt us in other areas. But when we surrender completely to him, it brings victory. 2 Peter. How do we become stable? I had mentioned we read the Word of God. We need to grow in grace And 2 Peter 1, verse 2 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God of Jesus and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue." And here's the things that we need to grow in. "Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity." It says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." It says, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Again, being steadfast and unmovable, so we don't fall, so we can enter. That it says that if we do these things, we will never fall, and there will be an entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peter 3, verse 17 says, "Ye therefore, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfast." But then it says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Would anyone say they have too much knowledge of Jesus? It says here we're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think that as long as we live, we have room to grow. We can always grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 2 speaks of worldliness, takes us away here. Verse 15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." Talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They're not of the Father, but of the world. And then in verse 24, it says, "Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you." There were those out there that were trying to seduce them, trying to take them away from following God. And he wrote this. He said that continue in the things that you have heard. Don't allow those things to start overtaking or overcome, that you don't be overcome with that. And then it goes on and says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even so, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in it. And now, little children, abide in him. And when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Isn't that what we want? That confidence, that hope, that trust that when he comes, we will be able to be partakers of that heavenly kingdom, or what he wants to give to us. Job 11 says that iniquity will hinder being steadfast. It says, "If iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away. Thou shalt, if we put it away, it says, thou shalt be steadfast and shalt not fear." And that's why we need to examine our life and to see where we stand. A few examples in Scripture. of being steadfast. And I think Brother Junior mentioned Daniel. Was that in Sunday school class or was that here? I don't remember right now. But Daniel was one that he was willing to, because he prayed and he was, they've found that as a fault against him, but he was willing to stand true. He purposed in his heart not to allow the pressures of life or the pressures that were around him to break him from serving God. Joseph, he knew where he stood. Even when he stood alone, he was all alone there with Potiphar's wife, and he was faithful. Where do we find ourselves when we're all alone? Are we steadfast, or is that when we fall, when we're tempted, when we're alone? The three Hebrew children, they would not bow. And they said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, he says, or they said, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image. They knew where they stood. They were unmovable. When I don't know how many people around them fell down to worship the image that was built there. And they stood. They did not bow. Noah, in building the ark, he obeyed and he brought a place of refuge to his family. And I guess I just challenge us fathers in that. Let us obey. Let us bring a place of refuge, a place that our family can feel like they feel safe and they feel secure. And it's not in us, but it's in God. I think it's important that we're true to our commitments too. Psalm 15 says, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Sometimes it may be easier for us, or sometimes we may make a commitment and say, well, it costs me something if I keep my commitment, and it'd be easier to change. And I'm not saying that there may be place for that if it depends what it is. But at the same time, I believe that God honors those that keep their word in business matters and whatever it is. In small things, maybe even in our home when we say things, we follow through with it. And I believe it helps build a commitment, or helps us become stronger in the commitment we have made with God, that we're going to be faithful. We're not going to move. We're going to be steadfast, unmovable. 2 Timothy 1 Verse 13 says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Again, choices make a difference where you will end up in life and eternity. Let's hold fast to the things that we hear. The choice is in your hands and in my hands. 2 Timothy 1:15, it says, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are the jealous and Hermogenes. Again, there is the possibility of falling away, straying away. Let's be steadfast. 1 Peter 2, verse 6 says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. 1 Peter 2, verse 6. Wherefore, also it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. There is this solid cornerstone that will not move. We can build on that. Earlier on it says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We can either build on this stone. This stone is not going to move. It's either going to be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to those that stumble at the word and are disobedient, or it's going to be a stone that we can become solid and build upon. After Jesus taught the sermon, preached that sermon there, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, at the end of that, he says that he that heareth these sayings and doeth them is like a man that builds his house upon a rock. Are you building your house on the rock? Is your life on the rock? If it's on the rock, it will be steadfast. It will be unmovable when the storms of life come through. Again, I think of our loved ones that are held hostage. And I think it was something that just started while they were there being hostage, held hostage, that the word of God was ingrained upon their heart. And I just had to ask myself again, are we prepared for these kind of things? Are we built, and here it says that if we hear these sayings, the teachings that are given here in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, pretty much the teachings and direction for life. And if we do those things, if we hear them and do them and obey them, we're building a house on the rock that cannot be moved. Revelation 22, I'd like to just turn to that. Yet in closing, just read a few verses there. Again, verse 12, it says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He's saying he's the beginning, he's the end, he's the first, the last. And when he comes, he's going to bring his reward with him according to every man's work. And it says there that this verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come, let him that heareth say, come, let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will take the water of life freely. For I testify unto you, every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. My plea to you again is build on the rock of Jesus Christ. Use the word of God as your point of reference, and allow that to direct your course. Don't deviate from it at all. And if you do that, there will be an entrance made for you into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.